Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D. And for those of you who celebrate the holidays, I want to wish you a happy holiday season here. Now, today, tonight, this evening, December the 20th, 2009, I have a guest that's coming on. His name is Nazara. Now, Nazara has been a student of metaphysics, religion, and psychology for over 19 years. He has studied Arabic, Hebrew, and the Kemetic hieroglyphics in his quest to understand spirituality. He holds a bachelor's degree from Georgia State University in history and science. He also holds a master's degree in educational administration from the University of West Georgia. Nazara has over 10 years experience as a teacher and a lecturer. And he also has two books that he has out called The Hidden Power and also called The Hidden Self. So this is also going to be another one of those enlightening shows. And I'm going to pull Nazara up here, and let's see, can I get him on here? Nazara?
I'm here.
Is this
how
you?
Are you?
Good, yeah. Good. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I just wanted to clear up the pronunciation. It's pronounced Nazira.
Okay, thank you for that. Nazira. Okay. Now, tell us, you have two books that's out, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and so what was your first book?
The first book was The Hidden Self, and that book was an outgrowth of a journal that I had, a spiritual journal. It was actually initially a journal that I developed for personal things, and it seemed to take on a life of its own, you know, being I was studying a lot of different things at that time, so over the years, it was like a lot of notebooks were just piling up, and over the years, I went back and read some of the information, and it was very profound, and I felt a need to share that with my brothers and sisters, so
that itself. Okay, and so now, and your second book is called what?
The second book is The Hidden Power, and that book is putting the flame to the gas, as I like to say it, because it's taking the theoretical information and, you know, more or less like the book knowledge and putting it into practice. And this is how I'm able to manifest things in my life. So I'm wanting to share that with everybody else.
Okay. And so this both books are dealing with in the science of metaphysics.
Yes, science of metaphysics. It deals with some things what people in the metaphysical community would call magic. And you know, but basically I've come to understand it as it's just a higher level of psychology. You have something called the collective subconscious,
mm-hmm.
and so known as the Akashic Records. So basically we're all connected on a certain level through our mind. This is why sometimes people can read, you know, other people's thoughts and, you know, distance healing. All of this is done through the power of the subconscious, the power of the subconscious mind, but more specific, the power of the collective subconscious. So the book goes into things of that nature. The Hidden Power, it was supposed to be one book, but I wanted to do it in a way that is very readable because, you know, when I was first studying, you know, the books were broken down into smaller books. It's good for younger people, and people just don't have time to digest 300-page books and things of that nature. So I wanted to condense it and break it down, whereas after they read the first book, then they can graduate to the second book, which is giving them some things that they actually put into practice in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes a lot of books, and, you know, I've read several books, you know, dozens of books, and then after that, it's like, okay, how do I, you know, I still have to pay the bills, I still have to take care of my family, I still have to do these different things, but I have all this information about what people were doing 2,000 years ago or, you know, breaking down different words, which is fine and good, but at the end of the day, I would like to think that I invested my time into something that I can actually bring fruit into my life. So
mm-hmm.
I want people something that they can actually use.
Now, also, usually people, do they compare your book to The Secret, or is there a correlation, or is it a difference?
It's very similar. The Secret deals with the law of attraction, but there are also several other laws that it doesn't even touch on at all. One of the laws is the law of infection, and the law of infection just simply states that if you're around people that are negative or people that shoot down your dreams or people that basically drain your energy, also known as psychic vampires, they will keep you from, you know, manifesting those things that you want to experience in your life as well. So it's very important that you conscious and keep in mind that, you know, it's very important who the type of people you spend your time with and the people that you give your energy to.
Now, what about if you with a family member or a loved one, and you know you could be married to one of those kind of persons, and so what do you do when you can't get away from that person?
That's an excellent question, and that's one of the questions that we, you know, delve into in the movie. The Hidden Self is actually going to be a documentary that's coming out this spring. Basically, there's techniques that you can do to shield yourself, and a lot of it has to do with also what you place your attention on. Sometimes you just have to ignore people, but, you know, if it's a relative or someone that you love, someone that's in your family, you know, as much as possible, you know, you want to try to shield yourself. Now, if it's somebody that you have to deal with in a work situation, I would try to limit my exposure to that person as much as possible because it will weaken you. And, you know, that's a stumbling block that a lot of people, you know, especially when they're starting out becoming conscious and, you know, growing, anytime you go into a next level, you're going to be tested and there's going to be energies outside yourself and within yourself to try to pull you back to the previous level, you know, because not all aspects of ourselves want to grow. And that's reflected in those people that are around us in our life. Like I always say, they say, as above, so below. Well, it's also as within, so without.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things that are happening, you know, in your life externally are reflections of conflicts and conquests that are going on with the different energies inside you. So
now
it's a mirror
you say the mirror effect. And now you say to shield yourself. For some people that don't, you know, they might be like, well, what is he talking about, shield yourself?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, let me give you one way you can shield yourself. and that is to put a ball of light around you. You sit quietly just before you're about to engage with interaction with this particular person or a certain type of event that may be draining. You sit quietly, close your eyes, and you visualize yourself surrounded by white light. Surrounded by white light. And you make the light as bright as possible and hold it there for, I would say, at least 3 minutes, about 2 to 3 minutes, and just hold it there and then just let it go and go about your business. It's very important not to, dwell on it and to you're just supposed to release it and let it go and go about your business to the subconscious mind. And knowing that this white light, anything that enters into that circumference of that white light will be transformed to a higher vibration. And you to your mind. And this course will be done with different foods that you eat. And, it's just a higher level of prayer where you're using pictures because the subconscious mind works more. Pictures are more powerful, images. So, you put the light around you. Another one is to zip up. When you get up in the morning, you, just like you zip up a coat or a jacket, you zip your aura up as well. And you just go through the motions as if there's a zipper. And you imagine yourself being totally protected and insulated from these negative effects. So those things definitely help, definitely.
Okay. Now, I also, in your book, you talked about the metaphysical anatomy of self. Can you give us an overview of what that means?
Well, just like I said previously, as above, so below, and as within, so without, as we have systems in our bodies, such as our nervous system, our circulatory system, endocrine system, and so forth, we also have spiritual counterparts. So it's important that you understand the anatomy of your physical body and also study these different things because there's always a higher vibration of that. Also, the fact that when we grow, say, for example, we go from being a baby, infant, to an adolescent, to a young adult, and so forth, we also have these stages in our spiritual growth. So basically, as we grow, we're going through these different stages, but they're not always aligned. For example, there could be a person who's, 12 years old, but spiritually they can be very mature. And the vice versa, a person could be, 65, but spiritually they can be still a very young spirit. So the book delves into that. The hidden power is it touches on these things, but it gives you things that you can particularly, apply into your life. For example, a lot of people, when you hear self-help information, it talks about having goals. Have you heard people, it's important to write down your goals and things of that nature?
Right.
But the higher vibration of goals, because everything that's happening right now, everything's taken to a higher vibration. So goals will not be as effective as we go into this new paradigm as dreams. Having a goal is somewhat like a checklist where you check off things that you want to do in your life and so forth. Some of these things may conflict. For example, you may want to, have a career, one aspect of your personality. Another aspect may want to get married and have children. So you have all of these conflicting goals and things. This is why we find ourselves in gridlock sometimes. But when you have a dream is holistic. So you visualize your life ideally as you want it, with all those components already in place. And this is what I call, your dream life. And what you do is you vibrate on this dream life as if you already have it. And what you're doing is you're magnetizing your focus on something that actually already exists. Everything that can exist does exist. So you focusing on this dream life, you're actually aligning yourself to experience it. So so that's just one of the things, and the hidden power goes into as well. And also the fact that we have to remember, we don't really want anything. A lot of people give me strange looks when I say that, but what we really want is experiences. We really want the feelings that these different things bring us. It might be a dream car that you want or certain type of relationship you want or with a person and so forth. What you really are desiring is the feelings. And what people do, instead of focusing on the feeling, they focus on desiring. So that's what pushes away from you, because when you desire, you are actually attracting more of not having it, because it's impossible to have something and desire it at the same time.
Right.
Because if you have it, you're satisfied, you're at peace. So you should never desire experiences. Instead, you should indulge in the experience of it. And that's where you go into meditation and visualization and vibrating on those things that you want. And by doing so, what you're doing is an element what is called annihilation magic, where you annihilate all desires for the thing that you want. So you collapse the time and the space between you and the once desired thing, and it manifests in your life. And this can happen, I don't know if you ever had a situation or anybody listening, whereas you wanted a certain job or you wanted a certain relationship with somebody so bad, and then after a while you said, you know what, you just stop thinking about it and you burn out all the desire. And then as soon as you start thinking about something else, that person or that job shows up right on your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
You unknowingly engage the power of annihilation magic, where you don't have the desire, therefore now you can have the experience.
Okay. Now, someone wants to know, how do you avoid nightmares and have pleasant dreams?
How to avoid nightmares?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
it's different degrees of nightmares. You can have a bad dream, you can have a nightmare, and then you can have a night terror.
Mm-hmm.
A night terror is a whole different ball game, because you might be dealing with some entities that are, you know, trying to basically take you out. So I would have to speak to that person. Are they on the line?
They in the chat room.
Oh.
They want to know, how do you avoid nightmares?
Okay, well, I'll just deal with it on a nightmare level, such as just bad dream. Well, anything that's happening in your dream state is basically things on this level are dealing with fears. It's dealing with your fears. It's dealing with guilt. It's dealing with maybe anxieties. And they would have to. I would really have to talk to that person to find out, you know, the different symbols that are being that the hidden self is showing them through their dreams.
That person that's in the chat room, you can call in and ask the guest if you want to talk to him directly. So basically, you're saying that when a person have a nightmare, a bad dream, it's usually dealing with or picking up their fears that they have?
Yeah, it could be fears, anxieties, guilt. It's anything dealing with not being at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Something
mm-hmm.
going on in that subconscious, or something's going on in their life that's being manifested in their dreams, because the dream world is just a reflection of this world. It's just on the astral plane. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I would really, because dreams are so personal and it's so intricate, I just don't want to throw out, well, I can say what worked for me. When I was a child, I used to have night terrors. And these night terrors were, you know, children sometimes get plagued with these when they have a certain type of light. And I just learned to really pray hard, and I just basically faced this particular entity and looked at it and faced it, and it just shriveled up and went away. You know, you have to become a warrior at that point. But anything that you don't look at, anything you try to avoid, it always gets stronger. You know, in the dream world, you know, for example, if you have a monster that's chasing you or something like that, that monster can represent something that you're not choosing to look at, something that you want to suppress. So when you face your fears, and this is why in psychology they teach, you know, psychiatrists, they teach you to face your fears or face your demons. What you're doing is actually dealing with the issue. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
dealing with it. So dream world, when you look at that monster, look at that entity, and really look at them and don't show fear, it starts to lose its energy because of the fact the demon itself gets its power from you, from your fears, from your fears. Because remember, in the dream world, everything is you. The floor is you. The walls are you. It's all made of your mental energy. So when you're in a nightmare, you're feeding into some form of fear, giving it power. So, but if it's a night terror, it might be you might really do some spiritual cleansing and shielding.
Now, what about when you have you been running in a dream, like somebody chasing you or dogs chasing you, and you never get caught? Or some people say they get caught. What is that? Is that the same thing, or is that you running from? I mean, does that mean you're running from something, or?
Well, yeah, you know, running, you're trying to distance yourself from something, I've had dreams. I don't have dreams like that anymore. You know, a lot of my dreams are totally different now. My dreams are very similar to what I'm doing now on the phone with you now. They're very much like my waking state, you know, and they become like that when you start to navigate the dream world and learn about lucid dreaming and this that you can apply to actually become conscious in your dreams. So it's hard sometimes to tell the difference, you know, and it's good that we're having this conversation, because as you do, when you talk about dreams and ask yourself throughout the day, am I dreaming, you know, and really try to, you know, ascertain whether it's a dream or real, when you go into the dream state and you ask that same question, it can spark what they call spontaneous lucid dreaming, where you can wake up in your dream and realize that you are in fact dreaming. So that's very powerful. And sometimes nightmares can be a catalyst to teach you about lucid dreaming, you know, because if you're having nightmares, then you know you have to do something about it. You have to become somewhat conscious in those dreams so you can change your dream experience. So.
Okay. Well, the person that is on the line, I think this could be, let's see, let me open this line up here. So is this Flo One?
Yes, this is Flo.
Hi, Flo. You can ask the guest your question.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing? I just want to say thank you for explaining to me about everything, because I have been doing research on, you know, the secret and basically how to get in touch with myself. And basically why I asked you about the dreams and stuff is because, like, I don't have them every day, but I'll have dreams about somebody chasing me, like you said, or somebody killing me, or I'm at my own funeral, or my relationships, whoever I'm in a relationship with. And they'll all be bad dreams. And I don't know why. Like, I'll try to ignore them, but they'll still come back.
Are you in a relationship with somebody now?
Yes.
Okay. And the reason why I asked that, have you been having those dreams previously to being in a relationship with that person?
Yes, I did, and something happened before, like when we first started our relationship, it happened, like cheating and stuff. I didn't cheat, but my partner did, and we forgave each other. We passed on that or whatever like that, but my dreams kept coming back about her cheating on me or something bad happening with her.
Okay. Well, you know, it may be some issues. It sounds to me like there's some things going on with that relationship, and like I said, your fears, you may be fearing, you know, a breakup, you may be fearing, you know, another case of infidelity or what have you on either part. I don't know the intricacies of that situation, but, you know, those dreams do definitely sound like it's pointing something with your relationship. And
and the reason why I said that is because before this relationship, like in my past, I've been done wrong, like people have been cheating on me point blank. That's it. And people try to play me, take money, you know, the ignorant stuff. They've been doing it all my life, and I met her. Me and her have been together for a year and 3 months. And in the beginning of the relationship, it was bad, but when we got everything together, everything came together, and, you know, it was cool and stuff like that. But I think it's my thoughts, like, from the past that keeps coming to the future and bothering me. But I know she's cool. Like, I know we're cool, and we work on things together, and I honestly think she's a positive influence in my life because she got me to do things that I didn't do when I was living it with my mom. You understand me? So it was like, she's not a negative person, but the things that she did was negative, but I had to get over them, and I had to try to get over them and just leave them in the past and not bring them to my future. And I don't know, I guess that's had to do something with meditation to reach your higher power, but I never tried it. I tried it before, but it seemed like it didn't work for me. Like, I would try to sit there and just think and, you know, visualize that white light, but it never happened for me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, just to go into a little deeper on it, you have to realize, too, or I should say remember that we exist in more than one place at one time. You know, these past events are just as real as the now, you know, the so-called present that you're focused on, as well as the future. So, you know, these things are still residue there. It's still hurt that's there. And, you know, definitely cleansing, definitely meditation. And the hurt that's there, what you can do is when you're in a meditation, you can visualize it and, you know, ask for a symbol. Ask your spirit to come up with a symbol that represents that hurt, and you would see that particular, you know, symbol in your mind's eye, and then you would shine light, send light to that symbol, or you could shrink it, and there's different things you can do to cleanse yourself of it to move forward, because, you know, like I said, it's just hurt and fears.
Okay, and Carla, also you can do some research on breathing. That should be able, if you learn how to breathe the right way, that should help you get into the meditation.
Okay. All right, thank you. I'll be on the chat line, but thanks very much.
Okay.
Bye. And I have a meditation CD called The Sleeping Serpent that I use. It's a guided meditation. It can be found on the website nazir.com, nazir.com. So a lot of people have a problem meditating, so that's why I created the guided meditation. So you can basically headphones, and it'll take you right into that state.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You can put it on, and it'll just soothe you and quiet your mind down and take you right there. That's
exactly.
Now, what is the name of your site again?
Nazir.com, and that's spelled N as in nature, A-A-Z as in zebra, I-R.com. And
now, go ahead.
I was just going to say that in ancient times, when you would always, if you go to a meditation class, it's guided meditation. There's someone there, you know, reminding you and teaching you, you know, to breathe, and certain visualizations, they would speak to you and stuff like that. So it's a very powerful tool, definitely.
Okay. Now, this is area code 480. Did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can.
Thank you for your guests, and thank you, Bev D.
Thank you for listening.
I was interested more into the dreams. The ones that I don't have any that bother me. I'm able to control that from now on. There's no bad dreams unless it's extremely powerful that it's just urgent that it has to get through on some level. But sometimes I get them and sometimes I don't. But my thing right now currently in my life is how to bring insight that is in my dreams and in my subconscious level into the realm that I'm in now so that I can use them in a positive manner to help my family and myself and the people that are around me.
Yes, well, definitely you want to bring remembrance of your dreams into the waking state because we don't even know. We may actually have more lucid dreams than we can even remember because if you can't remember the dreams, there's three aspects: being able to control the dream, being able to remember the dream, okay? So, you know, those go hand in hand, and if you can't control it, what's the sense of remembering it? If you can't remember it, you know, so those go hand in hand. You know, so your question is what? You want to try to bring that wisdom from the dream state into the waking state?
Yes, because I can control them just fine. I can control when things are going in a way that I'm uncomfortable with, and be like, okay, I'm a little scared of this or whatever, you know, I can control that. Because what made me want to master that is because I used to have those when you're frozen.
Those night terrors.
Some people say it's when you astral project and you come back and you're sort of still in between the realms, and it makes your physical body freeze because you haven't made it fully back into. I used to have that where I would be waking up and I would just be frozen. All I could do was just see the room.
Right.
I couldn't move. So it made me want to master that so it wouldn't happen to me again, because it really freaked me out and I didn't like it. Is extremely terrifying. And so from that point on, I realized I could actually master the actual dreams that are going on inside my subconscious, like flying and, not falling, because I would have dreams of flying, but I would always fall. So now I'm able to actually fly and control my flight, where I want to go, what I want to see, people, right. Things like that. So, but now I want to be able to bring that here. Bring that feeling keep that same essence, because seriously, in dreams like that, good, nice dreams where it's creating, and you want to keep that feeling and bring it into the reality. It's like almost like not wanting to wake up, you know?
Right, I definitely can relate to that. Okay, well, what you want to do is program your subconscious mind that this is important. And most of the time, if things that are important, what do? We usually write them down. Things that, you know, our to-do list, we write it down. When we really want to get across a message to someone, we write it down. So you're actually putting it into a physical reality by writing it down. Writing it down, or another powerful, very powerful way to etch it into your subconscious that it's important, is to draw a picture of it. So what you're doing is you're telling your mind, this is important. My dreams are important. Because I always write down things that are important. So therefore, when you go to sleep at night and you wake up and you write down your dream, and then the next night you write down all your dreams, you'll notice the information you'll remember it. But as you're writing, more of it will start to come out. So keeping a dream journal is very powerful. And also your intent. You know, say to yourself, I remember my dreams. I will remember my dreams. Or more powerful, like I said, I will remember my dreams, or I'll remember the wisdom that's being communicated to me in my dreams. And say that as you drift off to sleep. Have that be the last thought on your mind as you drift off to sleep. And that intention will manifest. Intention, that's what magic is all about, your intent. So, you know, definitely do that. And, Just talk about dreams more, you know, share with people, you know, those that you want to share, because you're telling your mind that this is something that's important. And that's very powerful.
Yes, I'm sorry, but when you said that, do you really believe, not even believe, I don't know what word to use exactly, but is that possible, isn't it?
It is
possible to bring the positivity in and hold it in for us all, if, you know, enough of us get together on those different levels.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. But, yeah, I was just feeling the power of what you said, so thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Also, someone is asking, what about when you are asleep, and you can hear your body snoring? You know, you're like a person that snores in their sleep, and you can hear your body. You can hear it. I mean,
well, you know, we sleep. Well, we so-called sleep. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
She's asking, what is it when you can your body snore, when you hear your...
No, when you can hear it. You know, most of us are asleep, and we don't hear us. Other people can hear us, but we don't hear ourselves snoring.
You hear everything. I mean, even when you're asleep, you hear. Even when you're in a coma, you're still hearing, but you're not focused on it. So this person is just focused on, you know, the external sounds in the room while they're asleep, and, you know, so they're able to perceive it. But our eardrums are still working when we're asleep. All that information is still being, you know, decoded in our brain. So if someone walks into the room, sometimes people will notice that it's a sound that should not be there. You see what I'm saying? If it's just a white noise, like the silence, of, you know, vibration of the room, if it's just a steady sound, we'll tune out that. But if something comes up that should not be there, like a duck quacking or something crazy like that, something will you to say, okay, this is not, should, let me wake up.
Okay.
Something that shouldn't be there. So
now, what about when you have, you're dreaming and you wake up and you are tired? I mean, it's just like you was really, whatever was going on in that dream, you breathing hard. I mean, you could be running or whatever, and you can wake up and you breathing hard, you feel it. It was like you was in that dream. You know, you have to sit there for a minute and kind of get yourself together.
Right, yeah, definitely, because what happens is lucid dreaming, when you have, when you're having a lucid dream or a very intense dream, you're more awake than you are when you wake up. Start to, you know, practice lucid dreaming. One of the key elements is getting enough deep sleep. Deep sleep occurs in the first 4 hours when we go to sleep. That's when we really are in sleep. That's what we really need. You don't really need all those hours of sleep because the other hours are dreaming. But that first 4 hours, you get into a nice deep sleep. And then when you go into your dreaming state, you can have more energy because you're actually waking up in those dreams. The problem why people aren't having a lot of lucid dreams is because they're not getting their first 4 hours of sleep, deep sleep. So when they go into what they call REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement, scientists call it rapid eye movement because when you're dreaming, your eyes are moving all over your head at like faster than they can move when you're awake. So in REM sleep, you're actually dreaming. And then you take a short break, you go into deep sleep for a few minutes, and then you go back into another dream. And you have to take another break. This is why that you go between dreams. You might have a period when you're not dreaming because you need to rest from that lucid dream. But, you know, I mean, I've had different things. I also want to direct people to my website. I'm going to give them a, I'm going to give a book title which gives you supplements to take to increase the certain neurotransmitter activity during the dreams, a certain supplements you can take. So I'm going to definitely put that on the website. But, yeah, you know, if you don't get that first, you know, deep sleep, you will be so tired the next day, you will be tired. And the, you'll be so tired, but you can't go to sleep. It's a very bad feeling. So it's very important to get your deep sleep, take some valerian or whatever you need to take to get your deep sleep, and then therefore you have the energy to wake up in your dream. Oftentimes when people have a lucid dream, they try to wake up in the dream, but their eyes are stuck together like there's glue on their eyes, or they'll be moving in slow motion because they haven't had enough, they don't have enough energy to be conscious in their dream.
Oh, so that's like a person is asking when you're trying to wake up and you just can't. You're trying to come out of it. You're trying to force yourself to wake up, but you just can't do it at that moment.
Yeah, you can't because just you don't have the for some reason, just like if you're constantly using your arm to do something, lifting weights or whatever, just with one arm, that arm will become fatigued and you won't be able to lift it anymore. So the same thing with parts of our brain. And in our brain, you know, it thrives on certain chemicals and things of that nature. So once you deplete a certain resource, it's very difficult to, you know, wake up in that dream or do, you know, control some aspect of that dream. I remember the first lucid dream I had, and I woke up and I was in a log cabin. And I woke up and I knew I was dreaming because I know I didn't live in a log cabin. And I was just so upset at the edge of the bed. And I said, okay, I know this is a dream. What do I want to do? I want to do something. And, you know, it's a weird feeling because once you know you're in a dream, you're like, okay, now what? So I went outside, and it was in like a forest area, and it was a car parked out. So I said, okay, I'm going to lift up this car. So I took the car and just lifted it way up to the air and just hovered it for a little while, and then I sat it down quietly. And at that point, you know, I was, you know, okay, what's the point of this? And I basically drifted back into, you know, another form of not being, you know, a regular dream, not being conscious. So,
okay.
You know, it's good to have a mission, too. Like, if you want to dream about going to ancient Kemet, or you want to dream about going to another planet or meeting with a long-lost friend,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things you can do as well. Set out in advance what you want to dream about so you can have some purpose instead of just, you know, I heard a brother named Panic the other night who was talking about
right.
that. He was saying, okay, what's the point of just, you know, walking around the neighborhood at night, you know, just people through people windows and stuff like that. Try to have a purpose, something that you want to accomplish.
Okay.
In these, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, with giving them your website, and so you say they can take some supplement?
Yes. I'm trying to remember the name of the book. It's not coming to me right now, but I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm going to place
okay.
it on the web. The website is nazir.com, NAAZIR.com, and I'm going to put that in the, on the website
okay.
maybe a few minutes after I get off the phone.
Okay. I'm going to open up another line here. Let's see. 313-259. Do you have a question, comment, or are you just listening?
Yes, I have a comment.
Go
hello.
Ahead. We hear you.
Yeah. Hello to both of you.
Thank you. Hello.
And what I want to say is I dream about water a lot. I dreamt one time there's a street near me called Mac and at the expressway, and I dreamt that the water had flooded, and there's over the expressway, and it's like I was in this car driving, and the water was up to the windows on the cars, and I was frightened all of a sudden and said, oh, if I go further, and that's I had to go like north. I said, if I drive this car, I'm going to drown, and then the spirit come to me and say, no, there's pavement under the water. You just don't see it. Go on. But I always dream about water. And this dream was like just before the flood in Katrina happened. And
wow.
I don't know if I can relate it to that, but I know I saw all this water on the street, you know.
Wow. Okay. Question about that or?
Yeah, it's like I dream about water often, bodies of water, like walking on a beach and then walking out into the water and walking on the water and then realizing I'm on the water, and let me get back to the shore before I sink.
Where are you from? Just curious.
Where do you mean from? What
in Detroit, Michigan.
Anywhere near the Great Lakes, by any chance?
Yeah. Well, we're surrounded.
Yeah, surrounded
right.
by the Great Lakes. And I
yeah.
live, actually, about two blocks from the Detroit River. So I live
oh.
Close to the river. But
well,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really interpret dreams of other people too much because sometimes we all have our different symbols.
Okay.
I could look into, you know, some things with your childhood or some things dealing with water and try to decode what this is trying to tell you, why you keep having this reoccurring dream about water. So, you know, I would look into that.
They're not dreams that are really harmful. You know, and I've read, I think they say in the dream books that if you dream about muddy water, it means there's trouble. And if you dream about clear water, everything's going to be fine. So they're not scary dreams or something that harm me. It's just that I'm always seem to be safe, you know, in this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any question you have, you can always direct it to your spirit. And, you know, a lot of times
okay.
we ask people and things of that nature. But if you sincerely want to know, it certainly be revealed to you if you open yourself up to the answer. And the answer may come in a song you may be listening to in the car.
Oh.
The answer may come from a child. But it will manifest itself when you place your intentions on wanting to know what this water means. And it may be something of great significance dealing with your spiritual growth So that's why it's probably being so consistent and persistent in your dreams, is because something or some, you know, some entity or even your higher self is trying to impress upon you. So definitely look into that. And matter of fact, if you can go to my website, you can email me through there. I'll be, you know, very curious to know how that works out for you.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Okay, let me go to another one and see if they have a question. This is area code 313567. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, I think they're just listening. Okay, I keep messing your name up. I need to look at your pronunciation here. Nazira.
Yeah, you could just call me Nazira. That's fine.
Okay, Nazira. Okay, so now you say in your book, The Hidden Powers, you say that you get more into, now I know you talked about in there about the personal magnetism. What is that?
Okay, we're taught usually to use our electric energy, and that's our masculine force to make things happen. It's when you are physically trying to, you know, or mentally trying to force something to come to pass using your own personal power, using your own energy, which has a place, but oftentimes we're not taught about our magnetism as well. And just to give you a little background information, the electric energy is when you are, you know, actively filling out resumes, actively, you know, writing up resumes, going on interviews, you know, asking questions. This is all if you're trying to find a job. You're being assertive and aggressive to get to pull something to you, to make something happen. And oftentimes we don't realize that we also have a magnetic energy as well. And what the magnetic energy is, when you magnetize yourself to that particular goal or dream that you want to experience. Magnetism deals a lot with vibrating on the what you want to experience by using visualization and by acting as if you already have it. You magnetize yourself so you don't have to do all that work. And you pay attention to your dream. You actually, you can create a vision board. The Secret talked about a vision board. But the whole key is to magnetize yourself. When you first wake up in the morning, you may look at it or you may just fantasize in your mind. That's all magnetizing yourself for your dream. So whenever you put that attention on an image, it's almost like sending electricity to that image. Anything that is electrified automatically becomes magnetized, and that's the whole science of electromagnetism. So you start to draw all those things to you. So the book talks about that. I give a few stories and examples, because a lot of people said in The Hidden Self they wanted to hear more stories and examples. So I gave some examples of how you can magnetize yourself for certain things, and you know, so basically that's what that's all about.
Okay, and so, you know, in this day and time when people is having a lot of lack, you know, lack of money, lack of work, and so this is a good thing to tap into to know how to really draw things to you and make things happen.
Exactly, and we can't even focus on the lack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The saying that someone said, I forgot what tape I was listening to, but this gentleman said, basically, I hear there's a recession. I choose not to participate. So you basically, you know, mentally make the choice that that's not for me. I'm not participating in that. That has nothing to do with me. And that's the same thing with, I don't know if you heard, you know, it's supposed to be all these different things happening in the year 2012, volcanoes, earthquakes. If you vibrate on that and you constantly worry about that and visualize that, you go to YouTube, you know, looking, scaring yourself to death.
Mm-hmm.
But you're is actually making that future more real for you. So you'll be one of the ones to experience that if you continuously to focus on that. So, you know, that's very important that you don't focus on the lack and, you know, the so-called recession. I'm not experiencing a recession, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I choose not to participate in that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's basically what that is. It's all in the mind, and you know, in the midst of any type of cataclysm, there were always those who survived. You know, everybody didn't starve in the Great Depression. Everybody didn't die in the concentration camps. You know, everybody didn't have the same exact experience because they didn't focus on the same things. So.
Yeah, because a lot of people became millionaires in the Depression. So, like you say, it was their mindset.
Exactly. Just like you have, you know, just looking at economics, you have everybody, you know, not everybody, but you see the advertisement for people that's buying up the gold. You know, come mm-hmm. and sell your gold here, sell your gold there. You know, people are scared, so they're going and selling their gold, but the prices of gold is going way up. So they're
mm-hmm.
getting for their gold, and these people are actually cashing in on that. So, mm-hmm. you know, go and feed into that, and you get scared up and want to sell stuff and things of that nature. You know, you're just feeding into it. It becomes a slippery slope. Because what you're doing is feeding into the illusion. You know, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we create our own reality. We create our own reality. We have to be, you know, keep each other sharp on that. And, you know, especially people in my circle, you know, we always try to keep each other awake and aware of the fact that we create our own reality. When we say something like, I remember I was doing a talk for my book at somebody's house here in Atlanta, and just before we started session, I said, you know, sometimes I get so stressed out because I have to wear so many hats, you know, the father hat, you know, the marketing hat, the creative hat, the spiritual hat. And she said, stop it, brother, because you're creating more of that in your life just by saying it. And that just was so powerful to me. And it's just a blessing to have people like that because we need that. And it's easy, especially when we have jobs and around different people who are just negativity is almost a culture
yeah.
that we charge ourselves.
And we also have to watch, be aware of what we watch on the television and what we listen to on the radio because they are sending out a lot of negative messages too.
Exactly. Yeah. When you get to a certain level of consciousness, It's automatic. I mean, you hear some of the love songs. I mean, especially in the you know early 90s and late 80s. You know, oh baby, if you leave me, I'll die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder when I can breathe again. And you know, it's like you're singing this song with passion, and the passion is creating an even more of a powerful message to your subconscious mind. So the next time you find yourself in a relationship, you find yourself experiencing the lyrics to this song.
Mm-hmm.
I can't breathe, sleep, I can't eat. Well, it's obvious you did a ritual by singing that song with passion, programming your subconscious mind. So therefore you reap the fruits of that. So when I hear songs like that, I'm changing the channel.
Mm-hmm.
I only listen to songs that are uplifting and make me feel good. I don't listen to none of that.
Now, you know, I hear a lot of talk about, like, the rappers are into the rituals and things. For instance, I hear a lot of talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce, and it seems like these people are, like, the super rich. And so are they using these magic to get to that point, or did they get there and start using it?
I was watching a little you know, clips and a little bit about Jay-Z and
mm-hmm.
how he's Illuminati and stuff. I look at that stuff like the tabloids, you know.
Okay.
It's like, you know, I really don't give a lot of attention to that. I'm really focused on what I'm doing, but
what you're doing.
I don't
okay.
know. Maybe, you know, it doesn't really, my perspective is that it has nothing to do with me because that's not my universe. That's
mm-hmm.
his and everybody else that's dealing with that. So I don't know. Have you heard about that?
Well, no, I mean, I've never really just sat down and read or paid attention, but I just hear different people talking about, you know, all the rituals that is going on in Hollywood and the music industry, how they're using magic and things along those lines.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely, you know that. You know,
mm-hmm.
the whole the movie itself is nothing but a form of magic, you know. But the key is, don't get caught up in all that. Get caught up in your, you know, get caught up in the movie that you're creating on the silver screen of your own mentality and your brain, which creates your life. We need to be focused on being our own directors, acting
right.
our own life movie. I so much in the conscious community, I'm so tired of it. Always worried about, oh, is Beyonce doing this or Jay-Z doing this? What is the? That's crap. What are you doing? What movie are you? What song are you producing? You know, so he's doing his thing. He's doing him. You need to do you. And, you know, so, I mean, if I hear his song, I'll listen to it and everything, but I just don't get caught up in other people's agendas. I'm sure they're using magic. Use your magic, you know?
Right.
Yes.
That is so true.
Subconscious, even the subconscious programming. I've learned so much about how, you know, marketers and the system have used subconscious programming to help sell me things, sell us things and influence us. Use all of that information, and I use it to program my own self. You see, just as they can put, they can program you, you know, to want to not steal when you go to the shopping, the supermarket or to the retail stores. All of those techniques can be studied. You can find it all online, and you can find creative ways to use that, those techniques, to get what you want out of your life and not be victim to it. So it's not about hating on these people. You know, they're doing what they got to do to maintain their business. You know, you just need to be wise enough not to fall victim to it, or even wiser than that, use this technology to your advantage, because it all goes back to ancient science. You know, it's just that it's been turned on us, but you have to turn it right back around to your benefit.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to open up this line. Area code 323. Do you have a question or comment?
I kind of got on the line rather late, but
okay.
I enjoy the message, though. I really do.
Okay.
And what is the topic on today? Because I can think of 1,000 questions.
My guest has 2 books, and his book, one of them is The Hidden Power, and the other one is The Hidden Self. And his book, he's written about metaphysics, you know, how to manifest your personal magnetism, the anatomy of self. So it's in that category.
Okay. But, I'm going to go to more of my personal self because it seems like seems like the better question for me to ask, something dealing with myself since I'm late. But it being in this market of the laid off bunch in the middle class, and I'm conscious, and I know part of myself was losing myself was losing out on that job, a job, was standing up for the underdogs to my manager and things around, and also with her passing away just a week after I got laid off, so it seemed like. I'm wondering what was all this for me to and I couldn't get as more conscious because I was working all the time. I was so devoted at work, you know, but I was the first one to go. It's crazy.
Hold on. Did you say that you got laid off from a job and a week later the boss passed away?
Yes, my manager, who I came and I'm from Arkansas and I moved out to Los Angeles and that's where I started. And I made my ground, you know, for myself as, you know, a child leaving the womb, you know. So, and I'm a Southern girl, you know, so coming out here not with the big eyes, but with finding myself. And then with that, and then with, you know, this just gave me so much time to be in a deeper understanding where I'm at today. Because I would have never gotten here if I never got laid off.
No,
you understand?
That's very powerful because we were talking the other night about the fact that sometimes we go through circumstances that look negative, but it may be all by design of our higher self. For example, it was a situation where, you know, sometimes a lot of people may get locked up or experience, you know, just loneliness. And for some reason, you just find yourself in a room by yourself. You find yourself by yourself.
Wow.
And I believe sometimes the spirit puts us pushes things away from us because it's time for us to go within. And while you're in that jail cell or while you have all this extra free time, that can be likened unto the high priest when they take the initiate into the pyramids and they secluded them. You know, sometimes they'd be placed in total darkness because while you're, you know, eliminating all of that external stimuli and distractions, the consciousness or your attention has nowhere to go but inward. So therefore, you enter those inner schools where you learn, which is really the highest learning anyway. So you go inward, and that's where you commune with your soul. So that's very powerful.
And I had a dream a year ago that I saw, like, this image of white Jesus, right? I just, you know, he was dressed in all white, and he was going in the temple, and I went in the temple with him. So it's powerful that you said that to me, because I had a dream about that. Yep.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, you also covers your destiny and time. Now, you know, time, is that a good thing or a bad thing, what we have to deal with? Because it seems like people are always rushing.
Right, and that's, oh, man, it's powerful that you mentioned that because I have this problem of being late. I think my spirit actually causes me to be late in order to conjure up a certain level of adrenaline and energy within myself because, you know, I'm running late, but I always seem to arrive right on time. You know what I'm saying? So my spirit is doing that. So time, first of all, time is an illusion. And time does not go by. People think, you know, the time is going by. No, we are moving. Time is still, we move, because time is simply the movement of objects through space. And as we move, we have that experience of, or the perceived experience of time going by. You know, there's no such thing as time. That's the first thing. And one thing that we have to keep in mind, this is very important, is not to rush. Because when you rush, you're feeding into a belief that you're running out of time. And by you rushing and feeding into the belief that you're running out of time, you will run out of time. So, you know, don't pay a lot of attention to that. Just take your time. And there's been times I've been running late for work, and I notice every time I would rush, I would get there late. But when I take my time and be at peace, I always get there right on time. You know, so that's the level of perception, of you know, dealing with perception and magic as well. Because, you know, when you're rushing, you're sending it's almost like a attitude or a frequency of lack of time. But we already know that there's no such thing of time. What is time? You know, the sun appears to go, you know, over the horizon, and that's one day. Well, we know that the sun doesn't rise. And just because the planets are revolving around the sun, does that mean, you know, time is going by? No, objects are simply moving through what? Space. But time stays still, you see. So I know that excuse won't work good for your boss, though, right?
And, you know, also when you're rushing, usually you get very frustrated, and usually, you know, something happens, you can lose something, have an accident. It seems like when you start rushing, it just seems like it helps bring on the negative vibration.
Right. And when you're rushing, that's when you always hit the lights.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yes. Isn't that something? You do.
Yeah. So, because you're sending that energy forward that I'm running out of time. So therefore, the experience of running out of time.
And every red light will get you every time.
Exactly. So just don't feed into it and don't rush. And, I mean, I forgot the original question about time, but if you allow me to, I'll, you know, explain it on a deeper level. If you look at the universe as a vast, huge, infinite DVD with every event already burned onto that DVD, so if you were to pick up one of your favorite DVDs and look at it, all the scenes, all the characters, the soundtrack, everything is just there at once in your hand. You see, and that's exactly what the infinite field, the universe is. Time doesn't exist until you put it in a DVD player, and that laser starts to read the grooves in that DVD. Now, that laser is nothing but focused light, and that's what we are. We are light focused in a certain place in time, and we're moving around on this DVD called the universe, experiencing our movie, which is our life. So, that's just another way you can explain it, and it's all an illusion because the DVD is just there all at once. That's the reality. But we perceive the experience of this life experience because we are focused on one aspect on that DVD as we travel around in the universe.
Now, should we focus on, a lot of people is always planning and looking into the future, or they constantly, I know we have to know our history, or they're focusing on the past. Is it important that we stay into the now, or do we need to focus on all three, the past, the now, and the future?
It all depends on what you're trying to do, and that's, I'm happy you asked that question because I think part of my purpose is to help us remember that no matter what happens, we will always be creating our own reality, always be creating our own reality. So I've heard information that we should really not try to, go for our dreams, or we should not really try to strive because 2012 is coming and it's going to be the end of the world, so we should just wait. So this happens, and we're going to have some powers or something like that. For some, that doesn't sit well with my spirit. And what's been revealed to me is that no matter what, we will always create our own reality, either here or in the hereafter. As
mm-hmm.
above, so we still need to go ahead and do our magic in order to experience what we want to experience here in this reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a very sad day for a lot of people when they wake up and 2012 comes, alarm clock rings, and you got to go to work or you still have to feed your family, So I don't believe that, it's going to be some type of situation where it's going to be, 2012 comes and all of a sudden, everybody's going to be flying around like Superman. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's possible for those who have done the work. And who I believe who done the work, but those people will be manifesting things now,
mm-hmm.
and they manifest things later. A person who's broke will always be broke until they change that mentality. And
And so, some people say that 2012 is a cycle. It's not just that one day. And like you say, we're in that cycle now. And remember back when 2000, when they did all of that, had people buying all the canned goods and everything in the year 2000?
Yeah, I remember that clearly. I was sitting in the dark on the edge of my bed just waiting. I didn't go to the club or anywhere because I didn't know what was going to happen. So I was just sitting
mm-hmm.
there and it just fine, like any other day.
Mm-hmm.
So, people are always going to, there's always going to be some type of hype, because attention, it gets people's attention. And if you see, so many people viewed a certain YouTube clip, like 2 million hits, maybe in a week, you're going to look at it too because you're curious to see why is everybody giving this attention. So you add your attention to it. And it becomes a domino effect. And it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, only thing that happens on 2012 is what you bring to it. So, I just want to tell people, look, you need to continue to grow. You need to continue to, do what you need to do to manifest that which you want to create in your life. And don't wait for something outside yourself or some event outside yourself to do it for you, So, I may be wrong. Maybe 2012 will come and we'll be in this utopia or whatever. But I think that a wise person should not bank on that. you should bank on yourself and preparing and developing yourself. So.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that that train of thought there too. Now, in your book, when you're talking about the hidden powers, and so some of these things that you get into how to increase your hidden powers. What about these superhumans or these avatars? Are we going to be seeing a lot more of that doing this? Since people are really into tapping into that inner power?
I do see that happening. I definitely see that happen. I see there's a, like I said, we were talking about this in film in the movie, about there's different forms of consciousness, there's different levels of consciousness. You know, you can have a person who's health conscious, so they may see themselves as a vegetarian. A person may be conscious about their roots and their culture, so they may be black conscious. A person may be conscious spiritually. So you may be conscious in one area, but ignorant in another area. We tend to think of a person who's, you know, black conscious, that they're spiritually conscious. That's not necessarily true, you know, and vice versa. So I see there's being almost like an exodus where this metaphysics, a lot of people are graduating into this because they learned all they could learn about being black and about Africa and Moorish history or Egypt or whatever. So their spirit is saying, okay, I want power. I know who I am. I know what's going on. I know about these different conspiracy theories. Now it's time for some power. So that's what I'm dealing with now. I'm here bringing the power. And because I came to that level myself, I don't care about any of that. At this point, I'm ready for the power.
And that's what it seems like, the shift, when they talk about the shift that is going on. And you're right. It seems like this is what people are saying. Okay, you know, we're ready to tap into this power. And so that's where, and I know things like this, the metaphysics, people, this was like underground. People didn't come out in the open and talk about things like this. And this was done with secret societies and things like that.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. I mean, you have, you know, people that are, you know, wanting to control their dreams. I mean, how powerful is that? You know, controlling your dreams, controlling your reality. You know, because the dream state is the state that's closer to reality than this state. So, you know, it's a powerful day, and, you know, I'm blessed to be a vesicle of information. You know, also a student myself of this information. So definitely.
So when, so just say that a person is dealing with a lot of chaos around them. So what you're saying, once they learn how to control the dream world or control their environment, once they learn how to tap in, they can control that chaos or confusion. They can control it where they can work through that or get rid of it or around it. Is that
right.
What you're saying?
Exactly. And a lot of times, you know, we think that things are so complicated. I mean, it could be as simple as being more of an organized person. You know, a cluttery house, a cluttery, you know, car and room, all of that is a reflection of a cluttery mind. You know, when you see a person whose house is in disarray and things of that nature, that's a reflection of how their mind is organized. So you can start with eliminating the chaos in your closet, you know, because all of these are aspects of your mind. Your closet is a reflection of a corner in your mind. So once you start to organize your closet, you will organize a critical part of your mind, organizing your car, organizing these things, and being on point as far as, you know, the things that you say. If you say you're going to be someplace, you need to be that, be where you say you was going to be at that particular time. And I think we wear it as a badge of honor, African Americans. Okay, it's CP time. You know how we do it.
Right.
That would be something that's cool, you know, but all of this is your word. So when you say you're going to be someplace and you're not there on time or you don't follow through with your word, the same will manifest when you're trying to manifest things in your life. Your subconscious mind will act, it's like a child. it's like, look, this person will never keep their word. They said they was going to be, you know, meet somebody at the movies at 5 o'clock and didn't even show up or call. Now they're saying they want to create this dream life. Well, the subconscious mind is like, whatever, because this is a person that does not keep their word. So if you can't keep your word has no power in manifesting things. So it's very important. And, you know, I really hope and wish that, you know, people take heed and start to, you know, not associate. People associate being on time, being neat, and, you know, being organized and things like that with being white or, you know, European persuasion. But it's been revealed to me that a wise man learns from everybody. You know, sometimes the child has to teach the parent, you know, and we all know that we've been here a lot longer than they have, but there's a lot of things that we can learn from them as far as on the mundane level. Just, you know all know we've been to those black businesses, and it's like, man, I want to support this black business, but it's like the customer service sucks, you know. I want to support this brother, but he's not dependable. You know, so when you're a person that's wanted to do things and you want to do business with your people, you can be discouraged because it's like, why can't my people just be on point with the things that they say and the things that they do and do things correctly so we can take it to the next level? So I think it goes back. We wear as a badge of honor, you know, like it's cool.
Well, you know, I don't want it to appear like it's just the blacks that has that mindset, because I have been in business that were other ethnic groups, and you come across that same problem.
Oh, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. You know, however, when I'm dealing with my family and when I'm dealing with growth, you know, we have to take responsibility for those times that we are not in line and in place. We know that no particular race of people is perfect. No group of people is perfect. But in order to grow, we have to take ownership of the things that we can grow from. And from my experiences, that's what I've seen. You know, it goes across the board. But I guess
you've been focusing on your people.
Yeah, I just don't like it when it's looked at like it's you know, like it's something that's cool. I remember when we was in middle school, and there would be other middle schools that, you know, kids would move to our school and things like that, or from parts of Brooklyn and Queens, and they would say, this school is lame. There's no fights at this school. You know, this school is boring. I remember my old school, we had this, we had that. It was almost like it was cool to have a classroom or a school where people got shot or there were fights every day, you know. And I think as adults, you know, we need to transcend that, because I some of that stuff from grown men. And I'm like, you know, I don't always say anything because I don't even see it as a teachable moment because it's just so deep in it. But, you know, so definitely all those things are metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
And all metaphysical because of the fact that once we start getting our waking life in order, our dream life will be in order and we can move forward much better.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard talk of chaos magic. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
So what is the difference between chaos magic and I hear him talk about white magic, black magic. What is the difference there?
Chaos magic is talking about the fact that before anything manifests, it's in a state of infinite possibility. So it's in a state of chaos because it's not ordered. It hasn't manifested. So basically it's unmanifested and it's unstable because it's not in any set form yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, chaos magic is dealing with that. Another aspect of it is that we live in a magical environment and everything around us is conscious and alive and can be transformed into a tool to manifest things. So inside chaos magic, you have a situation where I can go on and on about this, but You can create sigils, and a sigil is a symbol that represents certain things. You can do magic with technology. You can do magic in, you know, while you're in the bathtub. And all of these things are things that children do. We do it naturally. We do all of these things naturally. Children do it all the time. Let me try to think of some other things.
So it's not a bad thing. You know, when you hear chaos magic, it sounds like it could be something negative.
Yeah, because we've been trained that, you know, things that are not orderly or things that are, you know, not set is to be feared.
Mm-hmm.
It's feared. So it's almost like emotions. They try to make it like a woman is emotional, so she cannot make, you know, proper decisions. You need a cool-headed, logical person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So you have logic, and then you have intuition. Chaos is dealing more with the intuition, whereas when something might tell you while you're driving in your car, don't drive home that way today.
Mm-hmm.
Something just might tell you that, and no logical reason, and then you go ahead and drive, you ignore that, and you go that usual way, and you find there's a huge accident, and the traffic is backed up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that is. And it's being bad. That's just another social control. There's no such thing as good and bad. It just depends on whether it's going to take you to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. I hear people saying, I don't want to call on spirits. I might get a bad spirit. Now, is the spirits like people? Do we have bad spirits, good spirits? What do you say when people say they're afraid to call on spirits because they might get a demon or a bad spirit?
Well, I don't think you should fool with anything until you really know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you just tinkering with things, inadvertently invite something inside your home or inside your mind. You know, so, you know, I would strongly suggest people not to just, you know, tinker with calling on any entity unless they know what they're doing. And that's not really my frequency, calling on entities, because I already know I am the ultimate entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wouldn't really even, that's just me. I don't really mess with that, you know, I went through that level. I actually went through that phase where I was doing that for a little while until I realized upon further study that you can create your own entities. You can create your own entities and create. It's almost like creating, you know how they have viruses that go on the internet?
Programs,
and these programs travel throughout the internet gathering information and they bring it back to them. It's almost like they created another living being, these programs.
Okay. Right.
These entities that you can create, you can charge them and give them assignments and have them do things for you. So I'm thinking about doing a third book that's going into some of that, because that's really powerful. And it's fun, very fun, you know, especially when you tie in a lot of the childlike, you know, like cartoons and things like that. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing people are really more curious about, you know, they keep hearing about dealing with the spirit world, you know, since we're spirit and physical. And so people are starting to pay attention and read and look into the spirit. And so, you know, people are calling on spirits and studying and things along those lines. And like you say, you need to know what you're doing before you start getting into it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to incite any fear. I mean, if you want to tinker with it, go ahead. And, you know, I'm not saying anything will happen. I'm just saying I went through that phase. But why even, you know, call on something that somebody else told you about, you read in a book, whereas you can create something that's more unique for yourself? And from my understanding, that's even more powerful.
Mm.
Something else that somebody told you or you read in a book. You know, that's still external. You know, if you are the God or you are the goddess and you recognize the Most High is within you, you can create all this, all that stuff yourself.
Mm-hmm. And what about nature? You know, what about Mother Earth and calling on nature? Do nature play a part in spirituality, metaphysics?
Definitely. That's just talking about your, that's talking about your environment. Yeah, nature is just your environment. And, you know, there's energy that permeates everything, living and non-living.
Mm-hmm.
We call on, see, a lot of times people read these books, and these books is from, you know, hundreds of years ago, passed down information that's been translated and translated, people tampering, taking things in, adding things. So it's not as powerful as you creating your own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't live, you know, 1,700 years ago in Europe or Morocco. You know, certain things always apply, but what's more powerful is when you make it conducive to your own environment. For example, we live in a digital age, and we live in an information age. There's a lot of energy that we give to our technology. So there's ways that you can be creative and use your intention and use your will and your attention along with technology to manifest things and to you know, participate in certain experiences you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely incorporate all of that. We need some new. See, what's been revealed to me is that this is very profound.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, what's going to have the most power are things that are new. Because we're going into a new age, and we're going to a new, I don't want to say a new chapter, we're going to a whole new frequency.
Yeah.
So the more you tap into things that are old, those things don't have any power. All that is withering away. All that's withering away. You need to try as much as possible as to tap into stuff that's outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the box. Like me and my wife were talking, we said, what are some experiences that you want to experience that you haven't experienced before? Or other than earthly experiences. And what that is doing is stretching your mind. Once you put that question out there, it's going to come back. It may come back in a weird dream. It may come back in a feeling. It may come back, you know, like I said, listening to a song. But we're going into a level of transcendence. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, calling on these old deities like, you know, Shiva and Amun Ra and all these, that's fine and good, but the next level is what's coming next. Because all
mm-hmm.
the information we're hearing is that we're going into a new realm. We're going into a new frequency where everything is new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so start bringing forth some new information.
And I know that sometimes people, they go and they get these different ritual books and they try these different rituals and they don't work. And like you say, these are some of these things have come down through years. And sometimes it's like a recipe. Some of the important ingredients are left out.
Exactly. You hit that right in the head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It may have been something that somebody created for themselves. Just like
yeah.
I said, those people's dreams, I don't know all their symbols. I don't know their history. You know, I can't really, you know, that's certain things you need to go within yourself. You know, unless you're a clairvoyant or a psychic person, which
mm-hmm.
I not
mm-hmm.
those powers developed fully in me yet. But, you know, that thing may have been for a specific time, for a specific person in a certain culture.
Right.
And you are totally, you may be very, very much so disconnected from that. So it's weak. It doesn't have its potency. But when
mm-hmm.
you wake up in a dream and something tells you to get some fireworks, get some garlic, you know, get a whole bunch of pictures of DNA or, you know, put candy over here and do all of this and put up, you know, stained glass lights in your room and play this kind of music and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may sound crazy, but if you let that particular energy just direct you and you just do what it tells you to do without questioning it and doing it, you can open up powerful energy. Because this is coming straight from your soul, instead of something
right.
you read in a, or instead of something you read in a book, or what somebody said, or something like that. Because that's external. That may be nothing to do with you.
And that is so true. That is so true what you just said. I'm going to open up the lines here. Let's see. Area code 313-926. Do you have a question or comment? Okay.
No.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, not this time. I'm listening so far.
Okay.
He's hitting it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I don't know why I'm having such a problem with your name.
Just call me Nazir.
Nazir. Okay. Can you give the people your website again?
Yes, it's NAA, as N as in nature, AA, Z as in zebra, IR.com. Nazir.com.
And so you say that you are and the name of your two books, you have two books out. Give them the name of your two books.
Okay, the first book is called The Hidden Self, A Guide to the Metaphysical Self. And the second book is called The Hidden Power, How to Manifest Destiny.
And you say you're thinking about doing the third book?
Well, as I'm hearing the questions, and you know, I'm feeling like I need to reveal more. So, and delve into that. But I don't write about things I don't experience. So,
right,
you know, open to experiencing more and things of that nature. But I take it as the spirit, you know, reveals it to me, and but it's all about experiences. It's all about experience. That's the whole reason why we're here. To have a certain experience, and that's never going to change. You know, even as we go throughout infinity, you know, we will always desire to have certain experiences. So we will send our spirit and our light to different parts of the universe to experience the dream that we want to experience. So that's why I call the book "How to Manifest Your Dream," and that's what it's all about.
Now, you're a teacher, right?
Yes.
Okay. What level are your students? What age level are your students?
Well, other than teaching metaphysics, I teach science. I'm a science teacher. I teach life science, earth science, physical science, depending on, you know, what I'm called to teach. I also teach critical thinking on the college level.
Okay.
Orientation to college as well.
So do you intertwine your metaphysics with your teaching?
Everything is metaphysics. I mean, you study, you know, life science itself. You know, when you study the DNA and when you study physical science with different the forces of nature and you know, astronomy and things of that nature, all of that is metaphysics, because the physical world is a mere reflection of the spiritual world, as above, so below. So, but I fulfill the contractual duties of that which I put my word on. So if I'm, you know, contractually obligated to teach a certain curriculum, then I do that. And that's just part of having the power in my word. So basically that's it. I intertwine things as necessary.
Okay.
But I really don't see a separation between the two. Truth is truth, you know, in a textbook or a lecture or your life experience.
Because I know usually when you're in a classroom, you have like a lesson plan, and, you know, they kind of want you to stay follow a certain pattern. And, you know, a lot of people that's not familiar with metaphysics, when you say metaphysics, they, especially religious people, you know, they look at that as being people that is dealing with the devil and things. You know, it has some kind of negative things to it. And some people is not familiar with it, don't have a clue. And so that's why I was saying, do you kind of And I know you do because this is what you do. But you're in another system that doesn't have anything to do with metaphysics.
Well, on the surface, to the uneducated person, it looks foreign and unfamiliar. But the higher you go up in college, you see how everything is connected. For example, you know, a lot of people say a lot of negative things about the school system. But the fact is, when those kids come to that classroom, they're under the jurisdiction of that particular teacher. You know, you can have a terrible school but have several excellent teachers in that school. And as far as metaphysically, or just taking the students to another level, you're required to teach a certain amount, a certain level of standards. Just like if you take a vitamin, it tells you that the minimum daily requirement is this.
Mm-hmm.
So the standards are the minimal requirements, but it does not negate you from taking them more than that. You're just responsible for teaching them at least this amount. Anything you go above that is even better. So I've been applauded by administration for taking it to the next level. I don't encourage my students to just blindly accept anything. And educational system is moving away from kids just memorizing information. You know, the school system is a very easy scapegoat. It's easy target. It's like a pink elephant guy, you know, the education, blame on education, you know, but a lot of times people are speaking without any knowledge of the intricacies of what's going on. And, you know, it's just another bandwagon to jump on.
And education is great, but like in the city, I'm in Detroit, Michigan, and the educational system is kind of like terrible because the children are coming out not really reading and writing at a certain level. So is that the fault of the teachers, the parents, or is not the fault of the system?
Well, you know, for this call, I really don't want to go into that aspect.
Okay.
We can talk on another day about it, but I will say
about
this.
That. Okay.
Parenting is crucial as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a child that's not getting proper nutrition, not getting proper sleep, whose parents don't read, whose parents don't have a college education, whose parents speak, when needed, proper English or proper, you know, communication, how can you expect more from the child? So sometimes, student, you know, teachers are given a product or given a child that has to be brought up on so many different levels that that child will almost have to move in with that teacher to have any effect, because as soon as they go home to their communities, they go home to that house, that crack house, or wherever they live, well, everything the teacher has instilled can become undone. So we can only do what we can do with the short amount of time that we have. And oftentimes, especially in high school, teacher may have, you know, 150 or 200 students that circulate through them during the day. You know, so, but, you know, all these things are just, you know, manifestations of the day and time we're living in. Things are definitely needed to change, and it's going to have to come about on all levels. On all levels have to form to a higher vibration. And conscious individuals need to be in the classroom. Conscious individuals need to be, you know, in these different, what do you call it, bureaucracies that control, you know, our culture. We need conscious people to be mayors, doctors, you know, all of these different things. So it's not like we, you know, divorce ourselves from the culture. And this is key, because I was taught that from a certain, you know, between the lines, that there's no need to go to college because Jesus didn't go to college. Or there's no need to your education because that's the white man's thing and all this. That's the most foolish and stupid thing I've ever heard. Anything that increases your knowledge is power. And who says you cannot be conscious and still be a professional person? So that's one of the things that I'm definitely going to be addressing going forward, because I see too many young people, you know, just wanting to go off on the deep end without living a life of balance and being wise. You know, even so-called Jesus said, you have to be in the world but not of it. But you're still in the world. You still have, you know what I'm saying? You still have to take care of your family. And a man can't live by just, you know, a lot of talk and hot air and empty words. What can you do? You know what I'm saying? What service can you provide for the community besides spitting hot air? You know, so in order to make yourself valuable, you have to invest in yourself. We no longer have factories. You know, these menial jobs are becoming less and less. So you have to be able to, you know, provide some type of good or service to your community so that you have some value so you can sustain yourself. You know, this is why, you know, a lot of our young men are, you know, filling up the incarceration system because they have not, for one reason or another, they have not invested in becoming a valuable asset in society.
I have a sister that's a teacher, and she was telling me that they can pretty much tell with the young men when they reach the fourth grade who's going to prison and who's not by their reading level.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's some
truth to that.
I can't comment on that.
Okay.
But there may be some type of correlation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, males mature at a slower pace than females.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, far towering geniuses did not bloom until their late 20s. You know, so, you know, just the way the male brain is wired and the way that the educational system is, it forces a situation where the males are not maturing at the same rate as females mentally. So,
now, are you familiar with alchemy?
Alchemy, I'm a little familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, I haven't delved into that, but
mm-hmm.
I know that transformation, is the transformation or the raising of the vibration of the body, so that it illuminates beyond mundane things. So it's really just talking about resurrection and enlightenment. So, yeah.
Okay, and so all of that, that's part of what's going on at this point, too. So people, you know, that is looking into that, studying that, that is all part of raising your vibration.
Right. Alchemy is definitely part of that. It's a science. It's a spiritual science.
Mm-hmm.
I have not delved deep into that. But see, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not even really big on a whole bunch of books and stuff like that anyway, because
okay.
I believe, I know that I just need to tap into, you know, certain things within myself. Because any book that anybody read is already in the Akashic Records. It's like
okay.
I said earlier, collective subconscious, if you go deep enough into that meditation, or if you become aware enough in your dreams and able to carry that information to the waking state, you always have what's necessary for you to manifest what you need in your life. You don't need to read a whole bunch of books and you know, study deities that were, you know, other
mm-hmm.
and these are just other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, worship and call on people. How's that any different than calling on Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
You say one real it in the other. And what's been revealed to me is that you don't need to be calling on anybody. Well, at least I don't. I mean, I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to judge who does. Maybe that's their frequency. But Isaiah Ra is the God I call on and
mm-hmm.
who manifests things for me within myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the thing is to go inward, to tap into that inner power, instead of, like you said earlier, searching outward, trying to find the answer. Now, I've had some people ask me, if you're meditating or something and you might hear a little voice, how do you know, like someone asked, well, how do you know that's coming from the God or good? How, you know, how do you know when you are tapped in and what it's telling you is true?
Well, I'm not one to pin. And I apologize because I really
mm-hmm.
make a strong effort not to judge or make it seem like I'm on some level and somebody's on another level, because
okay.
everybody's on their level and there's no
mm-hmm.
higher. Because because it's all leading to the same place.
Right.
And sometimes the lower, so-called lower levels is what catapults you to the higher levels. So I can't really even say that people who, you know, call on these entities and God or Jesus or whoever they may call on, I can't even judge that. I'm just saying where I'm at now, right
mm-hmm.
now, been
mm-hmm.
there and I had already. I read that chapter in the book, you
mm-hmm.
know, so I'm now experiencing a little something different right now. But for all those who, you know, want to study, you know, Shiva or Brahma or, you know, call on their grandma or whatever, you know, that's fine, you know, and I applaud you for doing what you do. But, you know, I'm just not, my spirit has not called me to do that. I have everything I need right here when I'm working with, so.
Mm-hmm. And is that what your book, The Hidden Power, is that what it really, the message that it wants the people to get to tap into your own hidden power?
Yes, yes. The Hidden Power is giving you a little introduction to certain things that I use, and it's not something that you can, I didn't want it to be a book. Again, there's nothing new under the sun, and I'm
mm-hmm.
just going to be and admitted that there's nothing anybody going to say that's anything new.
Mm-hmm.
So it's profound that an ordinary child couldn't tap into themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first thing I want to say. Second to that, I just wanted to bring forth something that I've never been exposed to from the external. Everything that's in that book, or should I say specifically the different techniques I go into, are techniques that were created by me. Was created by me from what came to me or what was revealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be something that adds to a person's knowledge of what's possible, adds to, and not just the same redundant information about sit down, visualize, you know. I read that so many times, I'm sick of it.
Right, and you're right, because when you read, you read this book, you read that book, and they all basically are saying the same thing.
Exactly, exactly. And that's just going back to that reoccurring dream that the sister was talking about. You keep experiencing the same thing, just like in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they were walking up the stairs, and Neo turned back. And he saw a cat, the same cat, go by twice. And he said, well, that must be a glitch in the Matrix. If you're
right.
seeing thing over and over again, that's letting you know there's a scratch in the record and you're not going anywhere.
Uh-huh.
We need to have something that's fresh and original. So where that comes from is within you. So when I bring something that's fresh and original that came from me, I'm adding to consciousness. I'm adding to knowledge, not just writing about something that I read from somebody else. That's a book
mm-hmm.
report. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do
mm-hmm.
in elementary. You read a bunch of, read this book, and you do a report about all the stuff you read. So I wanted,
and you're so right, because I know when I first started getting into it, I mean, I bought so many books. I had a book on this and a book on that, but it just felt like I was going in a circle. You know, I was reading this book and that book, but it was like it was just still something missing.
Right, right. So what you need, what you do is you read this information,
mm-hmm.
and then you pick, you know, what you want to use out of it or what appeals to you and put it into practice. And as
mm-hmm.
you read different things, you may come across certain things in several books that may be the same, but it may be one thing in that book.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, Jules, you may find one idea in a book that will make all the difference in the world for you. So, you know, just like different speakers, a lot of people are basically saying the same thing, but it may be one thing that they say,
yeah.
one example or a story that they tell that may cause something to click within you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so would it be even faster if instead of reading all of these different books to just sit down and just go inward and try to find the answers inward, or do both?
Well, I do believe that there's a certain point where you become initiated. There's a certain spiritual experience that I do believe is necessary to happen to open you up. And then once you get opened up, you know, things can be revealed to you easier. So I definitely will recommend people to definitely meditate and try to reach a level of initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using, for lack of a better word, when you have a certain experience that just basically is a click. There's a certain click that takes place in certain levels of your conscious growth, whereas information can come to you and you can still read, but you may just, you know, you may read some. I mean, there's a certain point where you read, you have such a storehouse of information that life becomes your teacher. Life,
mm-hmm.
you could learn just from how, you know, different things on TV or things that your children do. Your children are very powerful teachers once you become initiated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so basically.
And, well, and also tapping into the your DNA, because as you were saying, a lot of the information is right there.
Exactly. Exactly correct.
So, again, your two books here, tell the people where we're down to our to 9 minutes here. And so tell the people where they can get your book, your DVD, and you have a DVD, and I know you have the CD with the meditation. You have DVDs too?
Yes, I have. Of course, I discussed The Hidden Self.
Okay.
Theoretical book, you know, getting you introduced to information, The Hidden Power, which is putting the fire to the gas and teaching you techniques on how to manifest the power, dealing with, you know, the information discussed in the previous book. And then I have a documentary I did with Bobby Hemmick called The Metaphysics of Destiny. You are surrounded by eternity. And what I did was pose certain questions to him that I always had about time, about, you know, we
mm-hmm.
hear that people could tell the future, but yet we learn that there's more than one future. So he goes into that, and he goes into Tahuti. Now, Tahuti, the goddess Sashet whispers into the ear of Tahuti, and Tahuti writes down the destiny. He talks about how our whole life is encoded in our DNA. A very powerful DVD for the metaphysics. And then I have one where I touch on music with Taj from the Sons of Light, and I'm interviewing him on the DVD about music and about the frequency of vibration and high resonance music, how we should be listening to the type of music is going to be coming. Because when you look at the history, we create a new form of music about every 40 years. Hip-hop is about 40 years now, so it's time for a new form of music, which is now going to be coming forth. That's going to represent a high level of consciousness. So he talks on that as well. The meditation CD, that came from when I was in college, working full-time and going to school full-time and completely devoid of energy, just working myself to death and
mm-hmm.
taking Ginkgo and drinking coffee, all these different things I was doing trying to manifest this energy. It was not working. I got so tired of putting these substances in my body. So I was studying with the Osar Set Temple, and I was learning a lot about you know, meditation and going into trance. And I learned to, you know, I created a meditation CD for myself. Now, see, that goes all back to becoming that God. You
mm-hmm.
have to create things for yourself. You're not going to find everything that you need in your external environment. What you
mm-hmm.
really need and what you know you need is within inside yourself. This is why artists that have hit songs, they say, I made this because this was what I wanted to hear. And I knew if I wanted to hear, other people wanted to hear it. So they create this particular sound, and it becomes a worldwide success. Well, it's the
mm-hmm.
same thing with spiritual life. Some things you need to create. This CD is so powerful. I did the whole thing in one take in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meditate. I had one mistake straight off the top of my head. Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I have a website. There's some samples on there of the audio. So I created that. And no more Ginkgo, no more drinking coffee and Gouda Cola, strictly going into that state, doing the guided visualization, and opening up that energy within inside yourself. So that's called the Sleeping Serpent Morning Meditation. And not only does it give you energy, it keeps you focused, it keeps you decisive, it keeps your fire up. And I just can't speak enough for it. 100% money-back guarantee, I put my word on that CD, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So So that one is out there. And, of course, coming this spring is the Hidden Self documentary. And that's basically tackling about 70 different questions about the book, The Hidden Self, that I've gotten from all over the world. We chose the best questions, and we shot those questions to Bobby Hemmett. I answered questions. I have a metaphysics professor on there. Taj from the Sons of Light is on there. And I have a high priest, a Yoruba priest named Rudra, who's coming from that perspective and answering some questions. It's very, very powerful. That'll be coming spring 2010.
Okay. Well, give them again your website so they can go and order the DVDs and the CDs in your book.
Okay, and I greatly appreciate being on your show.
And I appreciate you.
The website is nazir.com. That's www.n as in nature, A-A-Z as in zebra, I-R, nazir.com. And all the information is on there. We have video clips on there, audio clips of the meditation CD. So hope everybody would check that out.
Okay. And again, Nazir, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. And just thank you for being an enlightened person and sharing the knowledge.
Well, you know, I'm just a mirror reflection of you, sister, so. I give thanks as well.
Well, thank you. And thank you again for coming on.
Okay, hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
All right. Peace and love. And again, thank you for joining me tonight on the Truth to Power show. And I want to say happy holidays for those who celebrate the holidays. And you know, we are growing now. We are evolving into these awesome beings. And so this is, you know, I'm trying to bring on people here that can help us on this path. And thank you for listening. And I will see you, not see you, but I will talk to you next Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. with another informative guest. So peace and love and happy holidays.